Remember the three goals of Burning Bush? What are the three goals? What's the first one? To know Jesus personally and intimately. Number two, to walk victoriously by hanging out with God. Number three, to love others to Jesus. Last week you can turn to Matthew 12:31. Last week we talked about some things. I don't know if you remember the key phrase in Matthew 12:31. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. We talked about that. I'm asking you, what thoughts did you have this week? What thoughts did it cause in you? What questions did it cause in you? Do you remember? Some of you came to me with thoughts and questions. Do you remember? The question is, what thoughts did you have from what we talked about last week? I remember us talking about all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. What thoughts did you have? I asked y'all to do some homework. Did anybody do homework? I gave you homework to do. Yes, sir. Okay, good. Awesome. Very good. Last week we talked about remember the question, what truth am I missing? Did you ask God that this week? What truth am I missing? Did you ask God? So are you ready to tell me? Or do you need to write that question down again and go ask Him? What truth am I missing? Write that down. Okay, I'm going to give you a few things to write down, okay? You weren't here? Good, then you... Oh, you know it. Say what? That's in that same verse. But we talked about... I said turn to the verse and... I said that, but the main thought that we're talking about, because I talked about that last week and what that is, okay? In a short little thing. So write down, what truth am I missing? And ask God this week. The reason, you know, I'm not going to fetch, kid. That was it. One time, that's it. Okay, I learned. I got too many of you. Okay. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. I'm not a dog here, you know. What truth am I missing? I want you to write that down. I want you to write down a few things, okay? Now, don't write this down, but I'm asking you. Last week I said, have you ever felt like you were too bad or had done something too bad? You ever felt like you can't be forgiven? Or maybe you can't face or think about something. You ever done that? The only ones who would say no are liars. Okay? Because we've all done that. We're all in the same boat. That's why Jesus needed to die for all of us. Because we've all done things that we have a hard time forgiving ourselves about. We can't seem to let it go. We can't sleep at night sometimes thinking about things. Or we get all troubled and our stomach gets in a knot. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. I'm trying to help you. Remember that song we just sang, Till You and I Are One? I'm trying to help us. That's my whole goal here. My whole, what God told me I'm supposed to do, is just keep reminding you of simple truths. And that is like that we're a relationship church. Everything's about relationship. See, relationship is more important than being right. But I didn't know that until the last few years. I always thought being right was more important. So I hurt a lot of people because I was right about what I thought. And I may have been right, but I hurt the relationship. Husbands, you may be right in what you're thinking, but forcing it on your wife or straightening her out or vice versa doesn't make for a good relationship. What makes, here's a thought that you ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of constantly. Lord, make me constantly aware of this thought. What makes for a good relationship? What makes for a good relationship? When you're having a conversation and somebody asks you, you ask them a question, but they don't answer you to your satisfaction. Then, Lord, do I need to pursue this or need to drop this? Because maybe you could reword it. Maybe they didn't understand and you could reword it. But let it go. If you see it's causing a problem between the two of you, let it go. There's a number of times that I don't think Sue is right about something, or something I want her to see, or something I want her to understand, and it's like, don't you get it? And she doesn't. And whether she's right or I'm right is not the point. The point is, how do I pursue that? If I pursue it trying to make her see it, have you ever done that? Have you ever had me or somebody else like me try to do that to you? They try to make you see it? How does that make the person feel when someone's doing that? Not very good. Does that work for good relationship? Bonding? Yeah, they feel attacked, threatened, pushed, pressured, manipulated. Go ahead. What else am I guilty of? Okay. Yeah. The point is, we're a relationship church because God wants us to keep a focus on it's all about relationship. You see, God wants us to live the truth because He wants us to be at one with Him. And the more we come into truth, the more we come into agreement with light, okay? Like if we're like half dark and half light, we can only have relationship with God in the light part. Do you get it? God's wanting more of the darkness to be gone. That means more right or coming in agreement with Him. But that doesn't mean that when we're having a relationship with somebody else, we got to do the same thing, because how could two have a good relationship or walk together except they'd be agreed? Okay? But what has to happen is you have to allow people to grow where they're at. See, Tom has to give me all the grace that I need to grow where I'm at. I can't see what I don't see. I can't understand what I don't understand. I can't move in something that I don't own yet. I can't give it away. You follow me? So relationship is allowing others to grow where they're at. You have something to say? Never mind. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, it's not like I really wanted to open that up anyway. But when I asked last week, I talked about we go through life and we are going through stuff where we can't forgive ourselves. We feel like we've done bad. We have a hard time facing it. A lot of the reasons for that is because we don't understand how God sees things and how God wants to deal with things. We think, okay, I came to Jesus, and Jesus forgave me of my sin. At least I hope He did. And I hope everything's okay. But if a certain subject gets brought up or incidences, I'm afraid to talk about them to God. Did you know that God already knows? Do you have little kids and they go like this? You can't see me. You can't see me. Can you see them? But they think, you can't see me. That's how we are. You see, we have a hard time looking at things in our lives because we've never dealt with them properly. We've never dealt with them in Jesus' way. We make excuses. Well, I don't want to think about about a divorce that I went through because there was all this bad stuff, and I don't want to think about that. Repeat what? We struggle with a lot of things. We struggle with things like sin, past, whatever, because we don't deal with it properly. We don't deal with it Jesus' way. Okay? Let's say somebody goes through a divorce and they go through, okay? Like Sue. Okay? I'm going to give you this thought. Sue and I get married. Sue had been married before. I'd never been married. A lot of preachers thought, oh, she's the bad girl, I'm the good guy because I've never been married. But wait a minute. I was a drug dealer. I lived with girls. I didn't marry them. I lived with them. Does that make that okay? Just because I didn't get married? Does that make that okay? Is that like less sin? But you know, there's a whole bunch of people out there that say they love God and divorce is the unforgivable sin. I mean, they can't find it in the scripture, but they tell me it is because I hand it to them and say, chapter and verse, please. And they can't do it. They normally do this. They start telling me all their opinions, but I say, I don't care what your opinion is. I want to know what does the Word have to say. So Sue, married before, gets a divorce. Sue and I marry. Okay? The Bible says if a man marries an unmarried, a divorced woman, what's it called? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Adultery. Well, wait a minute. We both love God. We both ask God to forgive us. We both confess that. And we're both giving our lives to God. Does that make the Word of God void? He said, this is adultery. I'm helping you with something. This is a subject, but it's a principle too. Okay? This is going to help you, whether you've ever been through a divorce or not, if you get this principle. Listen. So Sue and I get married. We're reading the Bible every day. We come upon these verses. If a man marries a divorced woman, it's adultery. What do I do with that truth? God just said it. She's been married before. It doesn't say anything about if you're a drug dealer, you know, or something. I mean, you know, I'm looking, you know, it's not in there. But I knew I had done wrong. But they don't ever talk about that, but they act like divorce. You know, you can't be a Sunday school teacher because you've been divorced. You're contaminated. You can't be a deacon because you're contaminated. It's unforgivable. You can't be a preacher because it's unforgivable. It can't never. It's always going to be a blot on your record. It never can be taken off to some in their thinking. Is that the way it is with God, I ask? Is that the way it is with you, God? Is that the truth? Well, let me help you. So I marry Sue. She's been divorced. Sue and I are both dealing with that question. Sue's beating herself up, feeling bad. Oh, I've done this. I'm wicked. I'm bad. And, you know, I ask God to forgive me, but I can't seem to get forgiveness because I can't quit condemning myself. Why? Because she hasn't had a truth. The truth will set you free. If she's condemning herself, ever condemned herself? She's condemning herself, so can you see how this principle is going to apply to other things? If you ever condemn yourself, it's because you haven't come to the truth to get the truth to set you free. How do you get free? You have to admit the truth. You have to come to the truth, and then you have to agree with the truth. Not just admit it, but agree with it. Cling to it. Now, are you ready? So, at first I said, well, Sue, it's okay you got a divorce because he beat the kids, he flushed one of the girls' heads down the toilet, he pushed the same little girl down the stairs, and he was in adultery. So it's okay. He was out having an affair and starting another family with a waitress while he's married to you. So it's okay. Do two wrongs make a right? Nope, two rights make an airplane. Okay, but two wrongs cannot make a right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And three wrongs can't make a right. Three lefts make a right. With a stick. Wait a minute. I said with a stick. A big gnarly stick. Okay. Hardwood. Okay. Yeah. No, yours is worn out. Okay. Got it? Now watch. So what happened? Sue and I dealt with this for several months. Like 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. We're dealing with this. It's eating our lunch. Because we've given God everything we want. All right, would you just throw a hanger down there and kill them things? Okay. I know. All right. So they're gone. Now quit. Okay. Now, Sue and I are dealing with this. Question. A man marries a divorced woman. It's adultery. Is that a truth? Is that what the Word says? Do you need me to look up the verse? Well, it's in Matthew, and it's all over the place. Okay? Now, is that a truth from the Word of God? Okay. So it's a truth. For me to make excuses is trying to cover the truth or explain it away. Have you ever had people do that with you with out of the Bible where they try to explain it away? You tell them what the Word says and they always say, but, why are you putting your but in that, in the way of the truth? Get your but out of the way. What God says is true. So what did Sue and I do? You know what set us free? God, you're right. Sue said, I got a divorce and it's wrong. It doesn't matter what he did. I'm responsible for my choices. You said that it's adultery, Sue said. It's adultery because I married Harvey. So now I'm in adultery. God, you're right. I'm wrong. Will you forgive me? Can I bring this under the blood of Jesus? Will what Jesus did on the cross take care of this? And he said, yes. Now that you're acknowledging, admitting, agreeing with truth and coming to me for forgiveness, now I can blot it out. Take my God eraser and erase it. Wipe it out. Make it as if it had never been there. That's forgiveness, 1 John 1:9. And he says, and now I will cleanse you. I'll begin to deal with you about all the effects of that in your life and begin to deal with it issue at a time. Why you did this, you know, that your thinking, your choices, your thoughts, what, you know, what led you there? What? Mindsets, belief systems. And I'll begin to deal with all those and bring you into oneness with my thinking. So Sue, it will no longer be about you and what you want and what you feel and what you think. It'll now be about me, God says. It will now be about truth. It will now be about light. It will now be about love. See, love is not about me. Love is about God and it's about others. If it's self-love, it's not love. It's selfishness. You got it? Love has to have an object. What is the object of your love? Now watch. So Sue asks God, says, God, I'm in adultery. I was wrong. This is what you said. This is the truth. I am asking you to forgive me. I'm bringing it under the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I needed you to die for me to take care of this sin. Guess what? God took the burden, the guilt, the shame, the penalty off of her, put it all on Jesus. And Jesus said, "It is finished. Paid in full." And it was done. Harvey does the same thing. God, I am in adultery because I married a divorced woman. That's what the Word says. So God, not... See, for a long time, I kept making excuses. Well, he was a bad guy, and he beat the kids, and he flushed them down the toilet, and he... All the things that he did. He did. He took our daughter and stuck her head in the toilet and flushed it as a form of, like, discipline or anger or venting or whatever it was. And I kept making excuses. Well, look at how bad he was. That can't mean what it's saying. Why not? Because it doesn't fit into my thinking, doesn't feel into my understanding. I need to come in agreement with the Word. Not my version, not twist it so it fits into my little scope. Are you with me? All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Matthew 12:31. Do you remember what question you came and asked me, DBJ, after last week's? You said, I said, do you have any things that have happened in your past and how has it affected you? So let me ask you that question. Things that have happened in your past, how is it affecting you now? Write that question. Things that have happened in your past, how is it affecting you now? See, there's some of you that, because we all go through this, but some of you are still doing it, and I see it in your life, you're putting expectation on yourself. So you beat yourself up when you don't do good. Because, I'm sorry, I thought you were a sinner. You put expectation in yourself. So are you God? I'm sorry. Well, go ahead. And that's where we're getting, is we're getting to a place of getting the victory here. Okay? That's where we're getting. But when we do the same sin, there's a reason. There's something faulty in our thinking, in our choices. Do you understand? There's something faulty in our thinking or in our choices of why we keep repeating to the same sin. But I wanted to deal with something for a second here. Called expectation. You need to learn a verse. You ought to memorize this verse. Psalm 62:5. My soul, hope thou only in God, for my expectation is from Him. When you find yourself, You get disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed in yourself? Why? Because you expected more than you could deliver. Let me give you a little hint that will help you. Every single day, you are going to sin. Every single day you are going to sin. Everybody in the world is a sinner. Is that right? There's two kinds of sinners. This is so simple, but a lot of times we don't understand this stuff. You can understand it when I'm saying it, but you don't own it yet. And because you don't own it, when the devil comes along to you with a lie, or you have some lies in your belief system, in your daily understanding of how to live, then you believe the lie because you don't own this simple truth. Everybody in the world is a sinner. There is not one person on earth that does not sin. Number two, there's two kinds of sinners. There's what's called saved sinners or forgiven sinners because they've come under the blood of Jesus. And then there's what's called lost sinners or unforgiven sinners. Saved sinners go to heaven. Lost sinners go to hell. All of us start out going to hell. Every single one of us deserve to be separated from God. Nobody is better than another person. Every day we're going to sin. Now, you know what I notice? I don't sin as much this year as I did last year. And last year I didn't sin as much as I did the year before. And the year before that, I sinned more than that year. And what I'm saying is, when you get saved, God forgives. He takes all of your sin. Father, treat me as if I'm Harvey, a liar, a thief, a whoremonger, a disobedient to my parents, a drug dealer. Father, give me what Harvey deserves. What's the payment for sin? Is there any other payment? Well, I'm suffering. This is my hell here. I've already gone through hell here. My life is hell. Suffering is not a payment. It's a result a lot of times. But just because you suffer doesn't mean that you're sinning. Just because somebody is going through some kind of suffering doesn't mean they're sinning. We get saved when we acknowledge, admit, agree with God about our sin. I am a sinner. I'm not a sinner because I do bad things. I'm a sinner in my heart before I even do them. I have the heart of a sinner. God, please forgive me. He said, I'd love to, but sin has to be paid for. I require sin to be paid for. I can't forgive you because you ask me, because sin requires a payment. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Here's the key. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there's no removal, there's no forgiveness of sin. Sin requires death. Adam and Eve sin. There was no sin on the earth. Adam and Eve sin. They were naked. They weren't ashamed. They didn't know. They didn't have sin in their heart. See, if we didn't have sin in our heart, we could be naked. But because we got sin in our heart, we can't be naked. That's why we need to dress so we're not naked. Not have clothes tattooed to us and stuff, you know. We need to dress modestly because we all have sin in our heart. Adam and Eve sinned. God, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, I believe it is, and around verse 22, God made them coats of skins. Where did He get those skins? Do animals shed their skin? You know, like, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, He didn't make coats of snake skin. Yeah, buffalo, like, unzip. Grow a new one. Huh? This isn't a cartoon. God had to take an innocent animal and kill it because of their sin for them to be clothed. Do you get it? Now, There's about three words I want you to learn today. I need you to write them down. And I want you to look at them all week long until you own it. They're simple words. I mean, they're words that ought to be simple, but a lot of people don't even know what these words are. These truths are going to help you so much, okay? The first word is blot, B-L-O-T, or blotteth, as it says in the King James, it blotteth out, blot out. What blot out means is to erase or to wipe out. We're going to go over some verses in a little bit. There's four words here, I guess. Number two, propitiation. P-R-O-P-I-A-T-I-O-N. P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N. Propitiation. There's a lot of things that could be said there about what propitiation is. One person hurts another person. How do they get reconciled? Okay? Propitiation is the satisfactory payment one offers to the other, and the other then when the other one accepts it. So propitiation is satisfactory payment. That's what I want you to get. I could give you, I'll read more extended definitions if you want, but I want you to get that. I want you to write it down. Propitiation means satisfactory payment. Number two, redeemed, or number three, redeemed or redemption. R-E-D-E-E-M-E-D or R-E-D-E-M-P-T-I-O-N. Redeemed, redemption. See, when somebody has been delivered into prison, for them to be redeemed means they are given freedom. They are bought. How do you get free? Somehow, they were put in prison for a reason. If somebody did not pay a bill, they could be put in jail for not paying a bill. How do they get out? They have to work it off, or it has to be paid for them. So to be redeemed means to buy back. You get Coke cans, pop, whatever y'all call it, okay? I call them Coke, okay? And I told y'all that story when I first came up here from down south, and every day I'd say to the guy, hey, do you want a Coke? I'm going to get a Coke. And he'd go, at lunch, and he'd go, no. Every day I'd come back with a Pepsi. So one day he said to me, why do you say you're going to go get a Coke and come back with a Pepsi? I said, this is a Pepsi Coke. I said, it could have been an orange Coke, a grape Coke, a root beer Coke, but that's what it is. It's a Coke. I mean, that's what we called it down south, you know. Pop is what a balloon does when you hit it with a pen. I don't understand that, but that's okay. I understand. Pop, 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 pop. In there, I guess. I figure, I don't know what job, why. But anyway, a Coke can. It says on there, if you take the can back, they will buy it back for 10 cents in Michigan. Right? That's called redeeming the Coke can. It's being bought back. Okay? So, redemption or redeemed means to be bought back. To be bought back. Can you imagine that somebody has so made wrong choices that they've been sold as a slave to pay their debt? Now, we wouldn't see that here in America yet, now, today, but it used to be, and it is that way in other countries. They're sold to pay their debt. Okay? Somebody else comes along and buys them. And then says that the person who bought them has a good heart. And they say, now I want to give you freedom. Because they're already, okay, picture it. Because I have old movies like this, okay? A guy goes, he buys a slave, then he starts treating her nice, not like the other people who've owned her. He doesn't abuse her, he doesn't hurt her, he treats her nice, he dresses her nice, but she's his slave. And he gets to a place after treating her nice, and she's like, I can't believe you're so nice to me. And then he says, now I want to give you your freedom. Oh, I'm free. Yes, I'm giving you your freedom. I'm free. Now, what would you think if after he gave her freedom, she left him, didn't want anything to do with him, just wanted to go live her own life? Do you think there's appreciation or gratitude or thankfulness or right thinking in that? I'm just asking. But that's a picture of what Jesus did. We sold ourselves to sin. We were fully given to sin. We had all these deceits in our thinking about why we thought we were good, because I'm not as bad as so-and-so because I don't do this. I help people. Good. But we were sold into sin. We were given to sin. Because it was all about me. What I think, what I want, what I feel. Is that right or not? And then Jesus, God, because He loved us and He didn't want us to be bound, Jesus went and took and paid our debt. And then He gives us freedom. And then how do we live our lives? As if He's not alive. As if He doesn't matter. So often. And see, that's not the majority of the people in this room, because the majority of you have given Him your life. And I'm glad. And you seek to honor Him. And I love it. And I love seeing your faces when we're singing songs like Don't Want to Talk About You, Like You're Not in the Room, Want to Look Right at You, Want to Sing Right to You. And if I look around, I just see the devotion, the devoted love of people toward Him here. And I love that. And that's great. I'm just bringing you the thought out about the word redemption. Okay? The word redeemed. He bought us back. We sold ourselves. Somebody else didn't sell us into slavery. Somebody else didn't make us sin. We chose to sin. God went and bought us back. He redeemed us. I also want you to look up, I want you to, two more words. Merciful or mercy. Merciful, you know, whichever one, or put both of them. Mercy and merciful. And I want you to write down as a definition, not getting what we deserve. Not getting what we deserve. See, I deserve to go to hell. That's what I deserve. Some of you in this room are afraid to say that. You're afraid he may just, okay, then I'll give it to you. Because you don't know. You don't know the truth. You're afraid of truth, some of you. There's truths you're afraid of. If not, why don't you get more open? Because you're afraid. You're bound by fear. I'm trying to help you get free. Mercy. Merciful. Not getting what you deserve. And another word, grace. G-R-A-C-E. It is God's ability. That simple. Now, it has different ways you could go off with that. But if you realize that grace is God's ability, and then put in parentheses, in our behalf. God's ability in our behalf, or for us. Did you know God's for you? Well, sometimes you do, but maybe often you don't. You think God's against you. But God's never against you. God's always for you. He's always for you. Always. But what about when I'm sinning? He's still for you. He can't bless what you're doing because He set some rules in place that are eternal. And there's natural consequences to things that happen. If you drive 120 miles an hour, you probably are going to have a car accident or whatever it is you're driving. You are probably going to get hurt. Because it's hard to control a car at 120 miles an hour. I know. Okay? I told you I was driving that motorcycle and I thought I'd see how fast it went. I was doing 110 miles an hour and I could hardly keep my eyes open. You know, they didn't have a windshield or nothing. And I was cruising down this road and I looked at the road and I thought, that they didn't use those big fat tires like they got now. They used those little skinny tires. And when I was driving, and I thought, if this tire blew, they wouldn't find enough of me to fill a mayonnaise jar. I said, I am not going to keep riding the motorcycle. I only had two speeds. One is what it did when I slept. And the other one was 90 miles an hour from traffic light to traffic light. I mean, I don't know why I know it's hard for y'all to believe, but I'm an extremist, you know? So I had to get rid of a motorcycle. It's the only one I ever owned. Said, nope, can't do this. It will kill me. There was something I wanted to ask you. In the word merciful, because we're getting ready to read some scriptures, and I want you to have an understanding of what these words mean before we get there. Okay? I'm going to ask you this question. What is your God like? Please write that down. And then I wrote after it, your concept. What is your God like? What is your concept of God? I want to go back to a thought I was addressing earlier. It's hard for me when I know stuff, I want to talk about stuff. When you put expectation on yourself, when you beat yourself up, it's because you're putting expectation on yourself. I was laying in bed with Sue last night, and I said, Sue, it's not like I'm disappointed in myself, but there's something that it's like it's bothering me because I said, I want to be doing something for God. I want to be, I feel like, I mean, He used to let me, I went door to door and I did all this witnessing. And I still witness to people all day, every day. And that's great. But I feel like I get a whole lot of me time and I feel selfish because God's like just blessing me and saying, do your fish and do your train and play with your little kitty. And I feel like I'm selfish that I get to do these things, you know? Go have fun with your truck, you know? And I feel selfish because shouldn't I be doing something for somebody else, Lord? Shouldn't I be, I mean, the world's going to hell and I want to do something about it. And I feel like I'm just sitting here enjoying luxuries of stuff, you know? And I was feeling guilty. It's because I still have in my thinking this thing that everybody has, and that is that we're performance oriented. If you were in a grocery store and you walked out and you saw a little old lady trying to do her cart, have you ever gone over to help a little old lady? Have you? And afterwards, thank you so much. And then when you leave her, don't you feel good? we usually feel good when we do something, don't we? Why didn't you like yourself 5 minutes before the little old lady like that? Because when we do things, we feel good about it. It makes us feel good. Well, sometimes when people come here, they have a hard time because they're used to in their lives doing things that they feel good about. And when God brings people here, a lot of times He has them stop doing things because you're doing it for the wrong motive. And it's not because it's what God wants you doing. You're doing it for you. You're just putting the name of God on it. At least that's what He's shown me for me. What is your God like? What is your concept of God? Are you in Matthew 12:31? Matthew 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. We talked about what the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost was last week. Okay, we talked about that in making it real simple. It's basically attributing the works of God to the devil. And I gave you verses to look that up. Mark, I don't remember. Does anybody have notes from last week? I've got it in here, but it's kind of at the bottom of my notes thing. Hey, I don't want you doing that. Do you remember? Last week I gave you verses about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I think it was like I'll turn there for you. All right. See, Matthew 12:31-32, Mark 3:22-30, 22-30, Luke 12:10, Acts 7:51, 1 John 5:16. Okay? And anyway, I want us to look up some verses today, okay? I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And right before you go there, go to 1 John 1:9, which is just like two verses before that. So 1 John 1:9, are you there? Okay, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, acknowledge, admit, agree with what God says, not excusing it in any way. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful. He'll constantly do it. And He's just. See, He couldn't just forgive Tom's sin because Tom asked and then forgive my sin because it got paid for by the blood of Jesus. It has to be, all sin has to be paid for. So Tom and Harvey have to come the same way. And it's with a blood offering, a blood sacrifice. Harvey, why should I let you into heaven? God, you shouldn't. You ought to send me to hell. That's what I deserve. But I'm offering you, I'm bringing the blood of Jesus. That's what I'm trusting in. I'm not trusting in that I'm a preacher. I'm not trusting in that I've done good things or read the Bible from cover to cover or memorized verses or prayed certain prayers. I have nothing to offer you but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, there's only one God. That means all the rest of them that people worship are false gods. They're offering they're offering to those gods don't do them any good, because they haven't come God's way, which is the blood of Jesus. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just. He's justified to forgive us our sin because we gave Him a satisfactory offering. That satisfactory offering is the blood of His Son. So He's justified to forgive us. When you come to God to ask Him forgiveness, a thought you may want to say that will help you to help keep this in mind: Father, I want to bring myself under the blood of Jesus. Because what will that not forgive? The only unforgivable sin is a blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, attributing the works of God to the devil, or minimizing, deriding, saying all manner of evil against God out of an evil heart, with evidence to the contrary, where you know it's unmistakably God, but you of hardness of heart attribute that to the devil. That's, you'll find in Mark 3:22-30. Okay? Now, I didn't make all that up. Okay. So, if we confess our sin, what's our part? Confess. Admit. Acknowledge. Agree. That's the big word. Agree. If we agree with God about our sin, it is wrong, I have no excuse, I deserve punishment, then He is faithful. It's not like He's whimsical, or what's the word? Wishy-washy. Today He forgives, tomorrow He's in a bad mood. See, moods are not God. Well, I'm just moody. No, what that means is that you are letting other spirits live through you. God is consistent. I don't need my wife telling me, I love you today, I don't love you tomorrow, because I'm not in the right mood. But God is faithful. And then He's just to forgive us our sin. He's justified to forgive us our sin. If somebody says, why would you forgive Harvey? He was a drug dealer. And God said, because he brought me the right offering. I'm justified. I would stand up in a court of law and be declared innocent. And then it says that God is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, He starts with us where we are. He forgives us. That's where it starts. You get a right standing with God. Now God says, do you want to go deeper and get victory over this? Then let's start dealing with all the ramifications that happened in your life because of that. How it's affected your whole thinking, your choices, your belief systems. I hear people say all these words, blah, 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 blah. And they're just opinions based on hurts, what other people do. All cops are bad. They're just out for your money. They're doing a job, for crying out loud. You can't even imagine what the world would be like without a cop. Without cops. You can't even imagine. They have to police us because we won't police ourselves. Otherwise, let's look at how we drive. Do you ever have a rolling stop? That was sin. Do you ever go over the speed limit? That was sin. Do you ever not yield? That was sin. Do you ever curse the other people that are on the road because, bless God, I let them drive on my road? Get out of my way. That was sin. Police are put there by God to protect us from one another. That's right. But we have these stinking thinking. All, they're just after you. It's a conspiracy theory. They're all against me. No. When you do wrong, and then they're, you know, when I was into drugs, and the I said, hey man, there's a cop, there's a cop. Everybody's rolling the windows down, you know, throwing baggies out the window. Everybody's like, you know, I mean, we're all, when I see cops now, I don't do that. When I was doing wrong, yeah, they're all against me. Of course, because I'm doing wrong. Didn't you get what their title is? Police. They're policing. Because I won't police myself. I am transgressing. I'm going beyond the limits of the law. I need to be policed. Policer of God. We have all kinds of sinking thinking because we do wrong and then we want to blame others. So God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It's only two verses later. You ready? My little children. Who's the Bible written to? Us. Who's us? Americans? Is that what you mean? Us? Protestant, white, you know, Americans or something. I mean, who's us? Believers! In the Lord Jesus. Born again. Somebody gave me, I don't know if it was a daughter, I don't remember who gave it, but they gave it to me for Christmas, and I wear this hoodie. Maybe you've seen me wearing it. And it says, born again. And at the bottom it says, because I didn't turn out right the first time. I like that. So here we go. My little children, he's talking to us. We're God's children through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Everybody is not God's children. Oh, we just need to love everybody. They're all God's children. No! They're all God's creation. They're not God's children till they're born again. Oh, just accept, coexist. Just accept everybody. No! I am not inviting a rapist in my home. I'm not inviting a child molester in my home. I'm not inviting a liar in my home. I'm not inviting a thief in my home. Oh, come, make yourself at home, thief. And just pretend it all belongs to you. I'll take you up on that. Wait a minute, I'll get a moving van. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. He's talking to us and he says, you're not supposed to sin. Now watch what he goes on to say. He goes, that's your goal. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. Our goal is to be like him. Perfect. That's our goal. Now what do we do in the real world? Because we sin every day. Oops, I didn't make my goal. Again. Feel like I'm stuttering here. Okay. And if any man sin. Now if you go back about three verses, in verse 8 it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word does not abide in us. So he says in chapter 2, verse 2, 1 here, and if any man sin, or yet, if any man sins, now what do? So that we can be right with God. We can have this, not live under burden and shame and guilt. What do? And if any man sin, we need to realize that we have an advocate, a lawyer, an intercessor with the Father. You know what his name is? Jesus Christ, the righteous. Do-do-do-do. He is our own lawyer. Jesus Christ, the righteous. When we sin, we have a lawyer, an intercessor, someone to go in our behalf before the Father for us. His name is Jesus Christ the righteous. Did the Father Does the Father accept Jesus? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. So we don't have to worry about if he has access. We don't have to worry about that at all. He does, doesn't he? Now watch what it says. Verse 2. And he, Jesus Christ the righteous, is the propitiation for our sins. What does the word propitiation mean?
Satisfactory payment.
Now you can go look up all the definitions you want, and they're all going to basically say the same thing, but my favorite words that help me so much are when God helped me to understand it is a satisfactory payment. I want to buy your headpiece, whatever you call it, okay, your hoodie, okay? Isn't it awesome? I just can't hardly wait. That's what I wish I looked like. And so what's it worth?
I don't know. Ask Gary.
What's it worth? $15. Okay. Let's say it was $15. Okay. I'll tell you what. And it's brand new. Okay. I'll give you five. I can't hear you.
Will you take five?
Is five enough?
No.
It's not a satisfactory payment, is it? You go to Sears. They don't normally negotiate. Of course, I've had Sears. I've negotiated with them, and the guy said, "We don't negotiate. This is Sears." I said, "Go talk to your manager," because it was a floor model or whatever it was. And I said, "Display, whatever it was. It didn't have a box, whatever it was. I don't remember. It was years ago." And I said, "Go ask your manager." He said, "Sir, we don't negotiate. This is Sears." I said, "I don't care what everybody else does." I said, "Go ask your manager." He comes back and he said, "The manager told me to give it to you for your price," which was negotiated. You know, it's like, and I do that wherever I go. I do that when I buy a car, whatever. I don't care what they're asking. Here's what I'll offer you. Okay? But what I'm saying is, God said, the payment for Harvey's sin is death. Jesus said, "How about an arm? I'll give you an arm." Father's like, "No, I'm not looking for a sacrifice. You know, I'm not looking for an arm. I'm looking for death." It says, we stand before the Father. We have sinned. And God is, we have sinned. We have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ righteous. And he is the satisfactory payment for our sins. And it says, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So when I go to witness to people, and like, let's say he's a hitman, and he's killed a lot of people in cold blood. Well, he couldn't forgive me, Harvey. He's a satisfactory payment not just for me, but for the sins of the whole world. So what is it you've done that can't be forgiven? I'm asking. Go ahead. Okay, we're not talking about that. We've already covered that. I'm talking about besides that. That has never forgiveness, okay? But that's not just saying something bad. See, before I understood about speaking in tongues and all of that, I said the same thing my preachers said. It's of the devil. It's not of God. They're just making it up. Whatever, okay? Now, was I blaspheming the Holy Ghost? I asked God, was I doing that? He's like, "No." I'm like, "But God, I was saying this stuff." He said, "You did it ignorantly, in unbelief." He said, what blasphemy is, let's say Tom had a heart attack, dropped over dead. Okay? And God says to me, "I want you to lay hands on him and raise him from the dead." I'm like, "Okay." So I lay hands on him. It said, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up, walk. Boom, he stands up. Well, let's say Gary is like, nah, I don't believe that was God. I believe Tom was faking. You know, and he just starts, nah, I don't believe God raised him from the dead. And it's obvious. Everybody else, you know, no pulse, he's dead. He's been laying there for about 3 hours, you know. And Gary's like, nah, I don't believe that. And it's with obvious proof. He hardens his heart against the truth and wants to say bad things about God or the Spirit, the work of God being done. Do you understand? Yeah, that's the devil. He did it by the devil. That's what they said about Jesus. He casts out devils by the... He's a Beelzebub, you know, the prince of the devils. That's blasphemy. Besides that, what sin can you not be forgiven of? Let's just stop here today. What sin can you not be forgiven of? I'm asking you for your life. What is it that you're having a hard time forgiving yourself of? Go ahead, ask a question. Yep. 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 Yes, you can go get married, even though you've been divorced. Okay, go ahead. I can't hardly wait.
You discovered that truth when you were married.
But let's say we weren't married. Let's say we weren't married. And we knew, and God showed us His truth. And I say, God, I feel like You want me to marry this woman. And He said, yes, You will, but you will be in adultery. And I go, God, what do I do? He says, You bring it under My blood. It's not...
No.
Because God's about relationship, is He not? Okay, what can I do about my past? Can I go and undo it?
No.
Okay. Let's say Sue is married. Sue gets a divorce. That guy, he went and married the woman that he had started a family with. Okay? While he was married to Sue. Okay? Now, Sue can't go back and undo it. She goes, God, what can I do? Am I supposed to stay single the rest of my life? No. God, what do I do? You need to come to me and bring that divorce, all the choices and stuff that you did, reactions to what he did, bring it all to me. Take yourself to court. Bring it all under the blood of Jesus. Get forgiven. Now, God, what can I do? He said, we're starting over. Now, she marries me. But now, God, the Bible says, if I marry somebody that he's in adultery, now that's something for him to deal with. Okay? That's the truth. And it's not like I'm trying to go out and premeditate sin.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right. I understand. But let's say, okay, does anybody have any questions or comments before we leave this one? I can hardly wait.
No kids in this one, because that's
me. I can't hardly wait for that to be brought under the Spirit. That'll be so cool. That'll be so cool, under the Spirit. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. I know. It's so cool. We're all working on it. That's what's good.
I'm very excited.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments or questions on what we just talked about? You don't need to confess what others say you're doing that's wrong, but you need to come and bring that to God and say, God, is there any truth in what they're saying? What you're talking about is not necessarily on the lines of forgiveness. What you're talking about is in the lines of dealing with everyday, how to deal with your situation, and that's where... As you come to women's group, and that is going to come out, and you spend time with our women, all that stuff's going to come out. What we're talking about is getting forgiveness here through the blood of Jesus. What we're talking about is how to have where you, time is God, where at any time of the day, any day, are you listening? I want you to get this. I want you to get to a place to where at any moment of any day, you can look, you can approach God and look in His face. And not be ashamed, not be saying, yeah, but this and but that. Why haven't you brought it under the blood of Jesus? Why haven't you admitted it? Why haven't you admitted it and brought it to Him? Are you with me? If you expect yourself to be perfect and always do right, then you are going to be disappointed in yourself and you're going to beat yourself up all the time. And you're going to, your life, your Christian life on a graph is going to look like this. You'll be inconsistent. You'll miss church. You'll miss reading your Bible. God won't be able to flow through you the way He and you want, because your thinking is wrong. Because you're putting expectation in yourself. See, God doesn't ever let me down. I don't always understand Him, because my ways aren't His ways. I just said to Sue again last night, you know, I'm laying here struggling because God doesn't do things the way I think they should be done. I'm just being honest. But who's right? And see, I'm never right. And I just came to that not long ago. Most of my life, I thought I was right. I wonder why the rest of you just couldn't get on board. I'm serious. And I know you know. And I'm sorry that you know. But we're all in the same boat, because we all think we're right. That's why we got opinions. But God is always right. My goal is to be in agreement with God. Because I'm never right. Even when what I think is right, it's only because I, at that moment and in that situation, happen to be in agreement with God, and He's always right. Because I'm never right. Because when you think you're right, you'll judge other people. You'll put other people down. You'll get attitudes toward other people. You'll argue with other people. You'll condemn other people. You'll make them try to answer you relentlessly. You'll do it. Because that's what I do. That's what I've done. When you think you're right. Yes, sir. We will cover that. But that's not what I'm talking about right now, okay? I want to stay right to this. No, you're fine. We'll talk about that, okay? You and I will talk about that right after, okay? All right. I want you to be able to live. Tell me if this is what you want. Do you want to be able to live where you have peace with God? Where you could approach God at any moment and not be ashamed? Would you like to have burden and guilt and shame lifted off of you?
Yes.
And would you like to have victory?
Yes.
Serious, in your everyday life, have victory.
Yes.
Well, see, things have got to change in our thinking. I just told you, all of my life, and I'm talking about, I've been a believer for 36 years now, and the majority of that, I thought I was right because I started reading this. I've got kind of like a photographic memory. I can remember everything, you know, real good like that. And I would learn all these things and people would ask me and I could quote it to them. And man, I thought I was right. But much of my Christian life, I used this like a weapon against people. Beat them up. And everybody just wouldn't know what to say, but they went away whipped. Didn't go away encouraged. Now I find people seem to go away encouraged more because I'm not using it like a weapon. It's not, my whole attitude changed when I came to understand I'm never right. My whole attitude changed when I realized that relationship is more important than being right. That's what God died for, was relationships, first with them and then with others. That's the whole point of the Ten Commandments, is to keep us from hurting one another. Keep us from hurting God. Keep us from hurting ourselves. It's not your job to set anybody straight.